While you're turning there, the story is told of two old friends who bumped into each other on the street one day. One of them looked very sad and almost on the verge of tears. His friend asked, "What has the world done to you, my old friend?" The sad fellow said, "Let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, an uncle died and left me 40,000 euro." "Wow, that's a lot of money." "But 2 weeks ago, a cousin that I've never even knew lived. He died and he left me 85,000 euros, free and clear." "Sounds like you've been blessed." "Oh, you don't understand. Last week, my great aunt passed away, and I inherited almost a quarter of a million euros." Now he was really confused, and he said, "Why do you look so glum?" And he said, "This week, nothing." Do you know what's wrong with that? We have no idea how to look at our life and think God's been very good. And if you get a bad week, we go, "This week, nothing." I want to talk to you about how to praise God this morning. Psalm 50 and verse 23. If I can get there. Psalm 50 and verse 23 says, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." Praise often is a sacrifice. And there were specific instructions on how to worship God in the Old Testament. The entire book of Leviticus was written so that the Old Testament priest would be able to worship God the right way and lead the children of Israel in a right way of worship. People couldn't just walk into the tabernacle. They couldn't bring just any kind of an animal. They couldn't just wear any kind of clothes. Everything had to be just right. And it is very important to praise God the right way. Now, some people think that you have to praise God, you know, this way, or you have to face toward the east, or there are all kinds of things that people misunderstand. But the devil does love the modern way of worship, which is almost just do as you please. And that's what we're talking about. And next week I'll really talk a little bit more about it, because my theme next week, we're going to build an altar. We're going to talk about what it means to have an altar. And the Bible calls us a royal priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices. And if you are a priest, like the Bible describes, you need to act like it. You need to know how to offer spiritual sacrifices. And so next week we're going to talk about that. But in the New Testament era, as I'm already telling you, that there are no more offerings of lambs or bulls or goats. We're offering a spiritual sacrifice. As a matter of fact, there are only two sacrifices a Christian can offer. Themselves, a living sacrifice. You don't give yourself as a dead sacrifice. And the second kind of sacrifice a Christian can give is the sacrifice of praise. We need to pay careful attention to God's description of how to praise Him. Satan has done a very good job at convincing people they're doing a very good job at honoring God, when in fact, they probably are honoring only themselves and ultimately honoring the devil. Now, how should we offer the sacrifice of praise? By way of background, to praise God... Now, that's a very distinctive biblical phrase there. To praise God is to say something good about Him. When was the last time you actually said something good about God? So I come from a country where God is a curse word. They only say God when it's followed by another word. And people don't know how to praise God. A lot of Christians don't know how to say something good about God. Something that just applauds Him. Something that makes Him look good in the eyes of people around you. That's how you praise God. Nothing wrong with praising Him in private, but it's nice when it's done publicly. It is to show approval, to thank Him for what He has done, even if it looks bad. We are praising Him when we honor Him and bless Him and do things that just make Him feel good. The issue, the real thing, is not just learning how to praise God, but it's learning how to sacrifice when we praise. Learning how to do it when we just don't want to. Learning how to do it when it costs us. It's easy to say something great about God when when all of a sudden everything's going well. It's a sacrifice when nothing's happening that is good. And it is a great gift to God. Now, how do we offer praise? Last week, I gave you four things, and I'll just say them real quick. Singing praises God. Now, right kind of singing. But you'd be surprised that just the kind of, a lot of people think that they come to church to worship, and there is worship that goes on in church. But church, we come to be challenged, to be rebuked, to be exhorted, to be preached to and taught. But during the process, there ought to be worship going on. And the worship that goes on began the moment that we picked up our hymn and we started to sing. That's worship. Another way that you praise God, and I'll say, like I said last week, sing at work. They're singing all the filthy songs. You ought to sing something that honors the Lord. That's praising the Lord. You praise God by remembering. You remember how good He is. You just think about, God is good. I ought to be dead. That just, all of a sudden, you start praising God by remembering the good things that God has given you in life. Because we usually dwell on the bad. Remember, we praise God as forgiven. There's none of us that are good enough. There's none of us that ought to be in the position, in the places that we are, that we find ourselves in. And the only reason why God is good to us is because we've been forgiven. Not because we've earned it, but because of the grace of God. And I ended last week with the idea that you ought to praise God with your words. Too many times we're dumb in the biblical sense, where we don't speak. And you should use words. You should use a biblical language. You ought to say amen. That's a Bible word. You ought to say hallelujah. You ought to say praise God. Thank the Lord. Those use words that all of a sudden direct attention to Him. Now this week I want to talk to you, continue on it, and I want to say we need to praise God particularly. And if you'll bow with me, we'll ask God to help us. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the privilege of knowing You and knowing this book. And as we pick up the Bible, we see God, a lot of people try and praise You. A lot of people think if they just go to church, they think they're bringing honor to You, but there's no truth there. If the Holy Spirit's not there, if it's just rituals and ceremonies, then You're not there. It's not real praise. There's no real worship going on. I want to have real worship. I don't want to have just emotions. Even though I know emotions come, God, I want to praise You. I want to praise You whether I'm in prison or I'm in a palace. I want to learn how to praise You. Because it may be a sacrifice, but You're worthy. So, Lord, help us today. Help us to examine our life. Look at maybe why we're not doing this. Why we find it hard. Lord, I pray that we would make it anyway. Make it a part of our life, that You would be blessed and praised. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing, I need you to go to two places, Isaiah. You're already in Psalms. I'll swap it around. Go to Psalm 107 just for ease. Go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and verse 8. Psalm 107 and verse 8. Four times it's recorded in this one psalm, these words, where it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord." Not just praise Him for any old reason, but look, he actually lists it. He says, "For His goodness. And for His wonderful works." Is there a small S there? There's a little S there at the end, which means there's a lot of them. There's a lot of works that God does to the children of men. Go to Isaiah 63 to the right. Isaiah 63 and verse 7. Isaiah 63 and verse 7. "I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord." I'm going to talk about it. "And the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us." Is that a lot of stuff? I'm going to just start to praise according to all that he's done, which means you're going to take a long time. Look what he goes. He says, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindness. And then he goes on and he starts to praise God for everything that God has done in spite of Israel. My point is, be specific about how good God is. I told you the illustration. I've met people in my life who will just, you'll say something, they'll go, well, praise God. And I'll go, okay, you first. And that's a challenge that we'll say, praise God, but we don't really mean, yeah, I need to start listing the things that he's worthy of my praise for. Be on the lookout for what God is doing in your life. You know everything wrong. Why don't you find the good stuff? Think about how many of the things in your life that are just out and out miracles. Man. I mean, you just sit there and go, only God, only God. Well, he needs an appreciation. Just try and list. Just sit down and do it and list all the benefits of just one day in your life. All the blessings. James called it perfect gifts from above. How about writing them down and going, I never realized all the things that come into my life because of the Lord Jesus Christ. List them. We sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one. We're so good at listing all the faults, all the problems. Shame on us. If I asked you how I was, I mean, I'm trying to get everybody to work on this thing, where if I say, how you doing? You don't go, not too bad. How about better than I deserve? I mean, you're going to have bad weeks, you're going to have bad months. But instead of being so quick to know all the things that are wrong, how about saying, man, God's been good this week. What happened? Almost nothing, but I'm alive. My home is still settled in heaven. I've got ticket paid for. I'm just waiting for the shout. Amen. That's praising God. And I think we need to learn how to praise God for everybody. I ain't praising God for him. I don't know how to praise God for her. Well, you know, you need that's the whole point of this message. It's a lot of people come to church, Brother Dan, and they go, all right, hope it hits somebody today. Hope somebody gets right, you know. Amen, preacher, I'm with you. We think that a good church service is where the pastor misses you. And every truth is around you and at everybody else. A good church service is where you get hit. Amen? And you realize, I don't know how to thank God and praise God for everybody in my life. You need to praise God for everybody. Because everybody is being used by God. There's nobody that God can't use. Amen? God used Pharaoh to prepare Israel to follow him out to the promised land. God uses everybody. Thank God. And you need to thank God for everything. You just need to learn to thank him for, I've got a dozen things here. Did you ever think about thanking your parents for not killing you when you were 9, 10, 11 years old? My mom, years later, after I was able to talk to her without she fainting, she found out things I was... We had a drain, one of these drains that went under the road, all right? Had a small little, what we call a creek. It was a little bitty river, but there was a big drain. I never figured it out. Big drain because little creek fills up. So it started raining, and I and my buddies, we were brilliant. We had every brain that God gave to a walnut. So it's raining, and we get down there, and the water's coming through, and we're in the middle of that drain pipe is what it was there. And we're having time of our life, man. Water's coming up, you know. We're thinking great. The water begins to push us out of the thing, and we're swimming and coming around. I remember coming home. What happens? You guys get caught in the rain? Oh, yeah, Mom, we're okay. Years later, I think, Mom, we were in that drain pipe. You know, my mom should have killed me, amen. Don't you ever do that again. Think about just praising God that your parents put up with you. Thank God for the people in your life. You remember your younger brother, your younger sister were your nightmare? They told on you. Remember that? Andrew, he's over and watching this or whatever. You need to thank God for that little sister who kept you out of trouble. Amen. Thank God for everything. Praise God. Secondly, Praise God fearfully. That means with the utmost respect. And I don't mean just respect. I mean where we know God is God. We don't respect who we do not fear. Modern man doesn't fear God at all. Modern man has no worry about God exposing them for the faker and the fraud that they are. Modern man doesn't care that God's going to expose them. And God will. Modern teenagers don't worry about reaping for all their sin. You know, politicians don't think they're going to have to reap. Bankers don't think they are. God will make sure. People have no worries about standing before the creator of this universe and having nothing to say and no hope. People have no fear of what sin will cost them later in life. And so that's why they sit in church and it's like this. Because they don't fear God. You know how to praise God? Fear Him. If you do not fear the Lord, you will not praise Him. Psalm 22 says this, ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him, all ye the seed of Israel. Psalm 96 says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Praise and fear go together. Psalm 111 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments, and His praise endureth forever. Fear God. Psalm 112 says this, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in His commandments. And Revelation 19 verse 5 says, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. Praise Him. Listen. Say, I really just don't get into church. I really just don't enjoy my Bible. I really just I don't look forward. I don't want to go soul winning. I don't want to do anything for God. Let me tell you, you don't fear God. Because if you feared God, you'd realize, woo, I should be dead. I should be in hell. God has been very good to me. He doesn't have to be, but He is. I better praise Him. Praise God because you fear Him. If Bible believers take God very seriously, I read all the book. See, a lot of people spend all their time in the New Testament. And the New Testament's fine. But you know, you get the fear of God from the Old Testament. You learn the law of God, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, and that's lacking today. Amen? That's a balanced book, isn't it? So here's a book that tells you, you better fear God. If you get that right, you'll be able to praise God. I take it seriously. If you find it hard to get excited about your Bible, you just don't get excited about preaching or soul winning, maybe praying just doesn't excite you, maybe living godly is just not your thing, singing hymns at church, well, it's just not me. It'll usually be because of one of three things, or one of several things. It'll be because you fear the wrong things. You fear what your friends will say. You fear your family. You fear losing your job. You fear, well, I just won't have any fun. Maybe you fear the devil or darkness or demons or troubles in your life instead of God. Here's the point. If you feared only God, and I like how God makes it simple. Just worry about me, He says. Don't worry about the devil. Don't worry about your friends. Don't worry about your health. Don't worry about your mama. You worry about God. If you only feared God, you'd find yourself praising Him for all His goodness and His mercy towards you when He shouldn't be offering it to you. That's what mercy is. Praise God publicly. Praise God publicly. Acts 3, I'll show you something really cool. Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. Peter and John are going into the temple, and they're going to go praise God and pray. And he meets a man who's crippled there. And the man thinks it's the Pope, because he's looking for money. And he says, man, you're dressed up nice. Not really. Anyway, he's looking for a gift of money. And I know, you know, Peter wasn't the first pope, because watch this verse, verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Hallelujah. Preach on that for a while. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he reached down and he took him up by the right hand and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he reservedly said, well, thank you very much. Now look what it says. And he, leaping up, stood and then walked and then entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and what? He was public. Amen? I mean, if you had just been crippled and then you're like, yeah, look at this, boys. And he's going around that thing, praise God. I mean, Peter's watching him go all over, amen. You think, well, that's weird. Amen. About time we got weird in a right way. Praise God publicly. We talk down publicly. We don't have a problem being angry publicly. We don't have a problem griping publicly. And I believe that is a wicked sin. You got a gripe, keep it private. We'll tell each other off. We'll tell the government off. We'll have everything bad to say about everybody. But you won't praise God publicly. Somebody said this. Can we expect the flames of worship to burn brightly in public on the Lord's Day when they barely flicker for Him in secret on others' day, on other days? That's a missionary over in Uganda where it costs to be a Christian. And he's trying to encourage his people. He said, you know what? The reason why we're having trouble praising God on Sunday and in public is because we don't praise Him in private. But the encouragement is, let's get to the place where we can praise Him publicly. Praise Him without embarrassment. Pray privately. The Bible says go into a closet and pray, doesn't it? The Pharisees prayed publicly, didn't they? Oh, I thank Thee, Father. Everybody listening? That I'm not as other men are. That's how the Pharisee prayed, and Jesus said, ignore him. You pray publicly, privately. You give privately. Your right hand doesn't know what your left hand is doing. But you're supposed to praise publicly. I don't believe it's worth much if we praise God only in private where no one can hear it. And my challenge is, oh, that Christians praise God again publicly. But you praise God at work. At school, say, well, they don't want God in school. You know why they don't? Because they don't think He's alive. Because they think that He's just a religious icon. Let's tell them He is God. Just praise God anyway. Praise Him at home, at church, while standing in line for coffee. I mean, you're standing there going, praise God. I smell it coming. Everybody will look at you. Amen. Come on. Everybody else is giving out. Why don't you give up? Praise Him, man. Psalm 57. Go back to the left. Find Psalm 57. We should praise God among people. People ought to know they're around a Christian. Psalm 57 and verse 9. Psalm 57 and verse 9. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people. I'm not going to hide. And can you imagine if everybody went,
well, praise God.
Wait a minute. What's going on, man? So I'm going to praise Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto Thee. I don't care if the nations see me. Amen. And even among unbelievers, look at Psalm 18. Psalm 18:49. Therefore will I give you. Say, well, there are a bunch of unbelievers at my job. There's nobody saved. Well, maybe they're not saved because they never met a Christian. Psalm 18, and I said verse 49. Therefore will I give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among the, and sing praises unto Thy name. David said, I'm going to do it even among the pagans and the heathen. People think, you know what the truth is? People think Christians are wimps. That we're just sad, depressed, defeated people all the time. Shame on us. The happiest people on this planet ought to be us. You know, your worst day as a Christian is better than another man who's going to hell. This is as bad as it gets, folks, for us. But this is as good as it gets for somebody who's not born again. So you might as well just praise God. Do it publicly. Did you know it's okay to lift up your hands in worship? I'll talk about it here. Psalm 131. Psalm 131 in verse 1. Psalm 131 verse 1 and 2. That's not right. What am I thinking? Maybe it's 113? 135. It's somewhere there. Let me check. No, 135. He says, lift up your hands. Isn't that funny? I just looked at 113, didn't I? Well, yeah, there's a lot of those. Amen. 113. I'm looking for the one where it says, lift up your hand. 134. There you go. Thank you most kindly. Psalm 134, verse 1. We got some Bible students in here. Behold, take a good look at. Bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Now, when we talk about lifting up your hands in worship, I'm not talking about doing it all the time. Because, you know, if everybody in church, if somebody's doing this all the time, or it's just all the time, guess who's getting all the attention? You are, okay? But you know, it's just like saying amen. It's just, all you're doing is you're going, amen. I'm with you. That's true. That's the truth. And it means a lot. This is not a form of worship. You're not doing this to worship. That's not worship. You worship God in spirit and in truth, not in wiggles. It is truly, you know, if you lift up hands, it is a sign of surrender. That's all it is. When you lift up one hand, you're saying, he wins. Amen? And that's a good thing. So use appropriate times. I mean, if everything I said you said amen to, people would be looking at you going, can he just say some more? So don't sit there and constantly think, I gotta raise my hand. No. But it's okay to lift up your hands. It's all right. Fourthly, I think she's getting ready to go to Sunday school. Praise God passionately. Praise God passionately, energetically. Psalm 47 now, verse 1. Psalm 47. Psalm 47 and verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. When do we do that? We need to learn how to rejoice like the Lord Jesus really is the winner. People go bonkers when their team wins, amen? I mean, 50,000 of them will meet down in Cork City. Did you know that God hears the heart without words? But he never hears our words without our heart. This is where we mess up. We don't put our passion into our praise. What does it mean to praise passionately? Praise him with your whole heart. Psalm 9. To the left. Psalm 9 in verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. You know when your heart's not in it. Jesus said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. To praise passionately means to do with all your heart. When was the last time you put all of your heart, your whole heart, into something that wasn't sports? I really believe sports is a religion. I believe it is so consuming. You know, if your business took all of your attention like your sports do, you'd be called a workaholic, wouldn't you? If a bottle takes your life and consumes it, we call it an alcoholic, right? How can we just don't have any passion for God because we're all used up on everything else. We don't have any passion left. We don't have our heart. It's not whole. It's been drained. So on a Sunday, you're just barely here. Philippians 3, go to the right. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the what? And rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in our flesh. You ought to praise God with your whole heart. You ought to praise God in your spirit, in the deepest part, from the deepest part of your life. And even praise God with those hands, those eyes, that feet, those feet. You heard about the guy, never mind. 1 Corinthians 6, go back to the left, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. For you are bought with a price. What a high price that was. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, which belong to God. So, passionately, go ahead and shout. Don't go, amen, amen. There, I said it. Say it with feeling. Get excited about what's true. I am so you know when a politician is lying. His lips are moving. But people, I've seen them at the crowd. They're standing there at the rally. I don't know if they're paid or if they just had tons of sugar or whatever. But there's something that says, let's get excited. And I think, how? You know it's a lie. You know it's not going to be that way. But when we come to church and we hear the truth, shouldn't we go, amen? Shouldn't we be moved? Oh, that this church, I don't think any church ought to have a corner on the market, but I'd like to try to make sure that everybody knows that church praises God. I know a lot of other churches claim to praise God, but I want to do it right from the heart and do it as a sacrifice of praise to God. I mean, this is what you should look like on Sunday morning on your way to church. It's going to be great. Amen. That leads me to another point. You need to resist complaining like you would resist the devil. How many times were the disciples depressed? I found a few little struggles there. I found them stressed sometimes, but other than Thomas, you almost find them never depressed. I think it's because Jesus told his disciples that they ought to praise and rejoice. I think it's the healthiest thing you can do. Do you know, when Jesus was commenting on his disciples and he was commenting on praising, you know what he said in John chapter 5? He said, John the Baptist was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in that light. You loved hearing John preach, is what he said. Do you? 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But not us, but you're saved. It's the power of God. You say, what a crazy thing. You guys get excited about some guy making a fool of himself up in the front, yelling at you. Yeah, because it's the power of God. It's not the power of anything else that saves the believers. Philippians 1 says this, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. They're blaming me for their troubles. But others preach of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. You know what he said? He said that all of the Twitter accounts, all of the Facebook, all of the social media, all of the newspaper columns were attacking Paul and saying our problems in the Roman society all were because of Paul while they were preaching. And Paul said, I'm sitting here in prison trying to be faithful to what God called me to do, and they're blaming me for it, but they're preaching. Instead of Paul complaining, saying, how dare they? They need to come sit where I sit. They need to know what I go through. They don't even know what I'm going through. Instead of him getting bitter and angry, he says, I will rejoice. Because they're out there still preaching. Amen. And there's something that we're missing where we are so fast. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. You must be brainless by now. That was a good joke. When they were going to church, they rejoiced. Acts 2 says, man, they're cold, they were hungry, they were getting kicked out of their homes, but they daily in the temple, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Those disciples in the first century couldn't help but rejoice just hanging with other believers. When they're hanging around church, he told them to be a good... I mean, they're in a storm, the ship is sinking, there's somebody on the water coming at them, and he's talking to us, and he says, be of good cheer. It's me. You know, Jesus, every time he turns around, he says, hey, rejoice. Praise God. It's going to be okay. When you're persecuted, he said, when people persecute you, leap for joy. Paul even told a bunch of unsaved heathen on a sinking ship, he says, guys, be of good cheer because I believe God. We're going to be okay. The disciples worked very hard to learn to conquer a complaining spirit, and we should too. Because a complaining spirit will not make any room for a praising spirit. Finally, praise God continuously. Praise God continuously. Psalm 104 in verse 33. Psalm 104 and verse 33. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. I like those two words, my God. Is he your God? Or is he just a God or your parents' God or preacher's God, Brother Dan's God? Or is he yours? I will sing in the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have any being. All the sacrifices in the Old Testament were continuous. Did you ever notice they would bring a sacrifice, and then every 4 months they had to come back. 3 times a year they had to come back to Jerusalem and they were supposed to bring a sacrifice. Every year they were supposed to bring a sacrifice specifically for sins. Constantly, every year, another sacrifice, and another year sacrifice, and another sacrifice, another sacrifice, because it was a continual thing. You never stopped offering to God. Well, all those sacrifices have been finished, amen? When Jesus said, it is finished, he meant it. Except for two. What are the two sacrifices? Our living sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us that how does it start off? Romans 12:1. Present your bodies. I was starting to think of it from the start, but she goes right to the chase. Amen. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because God is very merciful, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You're presenting your body to live out the will of God for your life. Everybody's trying to find their place in life. Find the will of God, and you're in. You've actually found what you were designed to be and to do, and you'll be the happiest ever. and then the sacrifice of praise. That's the second. And you know, just like in the Old Testament sacrifices, as a matter of fact, in the temple, if you came in there in the morning, the first thing the priests were doing, they were making a sacrifice of a lamb out of praise to God. Then at the end of the day, you'd come back there, and there were the priests getting ready to make a second sacrifice for the same day of praise to God. Every single day, there was to be a sacrifice of a lamb out of praise to God, because it was to be continual. And it's supposed to be true in our life. I should not meet you and have met somebody who has not praised God for days on end. It needs to be a continual thing. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The Bible says this. Hold on, where are we? Well, I'll go ahead and use that. These are continual sacrifices. The only clock I could find that looks like it never stops. It's not sufficient. God is worthy of us never stopping praising Him. The Bible says this. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore. That's a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. Psalm 34:1, I just quoted, I will bless the Lord at all the easy times. At all times, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Listen to these words. I will extol, which means praise, Thee, my God, O King. I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee. You need to make that commitment. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. And then you say, well, that's the Old Testament. Here's Paul and Silas. And at midnight, in prison, they praised and sang. He says, we're not going to miss this opportunity. And God blessed it. Here's our conclusion. We're in a day where we need to praise God. What does it mean to do it sacrificially? It means when we say something that is good about Him. Something that applauds Him and makes Him look good in the eyes of others. When we just stand back and are in awe of Him. Now, often is a sacrifice by a believer. The unsaved aren't going to praise Him at all. Amen? So if you're finding it hard, it's just how it is. But He sure gets the glory when we do it. Now, we offer two sacrifices. We haven't even talked about the sacrifice of our life. But sacrifice of praise. We've sort of focused on how to do it right. We don't have drums. Did you know drums don't help you worship? Did you know that? Electric guitars don't help you worship. All right? We have wonderful things. But did you know if we had rocks to sit on, wood benches, if it was freezing in here and we were all huddled together in heavy coats and stuff, could we not still praise the Lord? You see, this book was written for all people in all cultures for all time. People who have no food. People who have no husbands because of war running through the countryside and taking all the men. This book is written for all cultures, and if they can praise God, and believe me, all over this world, there are tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of small congregations all over this world that are singing louder than you do. And they don't have two pennies to rub together. We need to be careful about how we praise God. We expect the light's got to go dim. We expect the front group has to swing and sway, and we call that worship. It's not worship at all. How should we offer our praise? Well, we need to do it particularly. Just like you have a Bible study notebook, you need to write down questions and thoughts and underline your Bible. You need a little notepad that says, praise God, 1, 2, 3, 30, 100, 121, 136,344. Praise Him particularly. Praise Him fearfully. That's why we bow our heads. We don't make a mockery of this thing. Okay, God, great job. Yeah, I like to see you on the judgment day talk that way. Fearfully, man. Publicly. Well, that better. He's a preacher. What goes on in that church of yours? I'll never forget the first time I was put on spot. I was at my dad's mom, my grandmother's house. We must have had 50 family all around. They were all in every room, half of them drinking. It was a Christmas family gathering. We're all sitting there, and I was my first semester at Bible college. I just come back and I sat down and my grandmother, we called her Nano. All right? My daughter asked me about nanotechnology the other day. Well, I knew about nanotechnology a long time ago. Amen. Nano, grandma. And everybody sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. Everybody sit down, sit down, sit down. Bring your punch, come on, sit down. Craig, you're in Bible college. Now she's 75 years old at this point. She said, you're in Bible college. What are they teaching you there? They've been looking ever since. Will you just take the challenge? Somebody says, why do you go to that church? Don't go, well, because my wife makes me. Thank God she does, but there's a better reason. Tell them why. Tell them what happens. Tell them about that book. Publicly, passionately. I mean, when it's Friday, everybody's talking about, woo, TGIF. Oh, can't wait to go get drunk. You ought to be going, woo, one more day. And I'm going to church. Amen. Sundays are coming. Amen. Praise God. Passionately. Resist that complaining. It will quench the spirit. You won't have any praise. If you just have a bitter spirit, an angry spirit, any complaining spirit, crucify it. Lastly, do it continuously. But I ain't finished. Why can't you praise God? Brother Craig, you seem to be doing good for all of us. You know why you probably can't? Because sin. It's only one big reason. There's something, it's like a clogged drain. If the Holy Spirit is inside of you, He's trying to praise God through you. Amen? And if there's a clog, it's only one reason. It's not because you're reserved. I had somebody tell me, he says, well, it's all in here. It's all right here. I said, well, unplug it. It needs to come out there. Listen, you were made to praise God. That's what you were designed for. For His pleasure. We were created for His pleasure, man. For some of you, maybe it's just not in you. There's just nothing inside that wells up like a spring of living water that just wants to praise God. If that's not inside of you, it's because Jesus isn't there. Because when He gets in there, He wants to praise God. All He did, all around, all the time, He says, God's working this thing out. Everybody's going to leave me, but He won't leave me. Every time you heard Jesus Christ, He was honoring the Father. Only Jesus could put a song in your heart and praise unto God. Only Jesus Christ could make a Paul and Silas sing in a prison. And if He's in your life, it'll make a show. But if He's not there, it'll also be evident. This is your opportunity to get born again. If you're not born again, if you're just living a lie, if you're just here, just by the skin of your teeth, you're barely here, let me tell you, it's the most serious thing. Praise is not the problem. Heart is. That's why Jesus looked at a very religious man who knew all of the sacrifices, He knew all of the law, and He said, you must be born again. You've not even begun to worship, old man. You got to be born again. And that's true for somebody in this room. And if you are born again, maybe it's your opportunity to get right with God. Maybe it's your opportunity to say, you know, I carry a lot of burdens, I carry a lot of weight, I carry a lot of sin, but I'm going to dump it because I know I was designed to praise God. Let's stand, let's bow in prayer.